Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. All of these qualities that come to us from the Beatitudes are not something ethereal, something far away, something for heaven. That's to shape us right now in view of our eternal destiny. That's because we have this eternal destiny, because we're already sharing in the kingdom, we begin to practice these virtues even now. And these things shape us even in our Catholic schools. Well, this is still part of Catholic Schools Week, and we need to consider just what it is. What is this about a Catholic school that's so different? Why is it so precious? Why is it different than what we find in all the other government schools? Well, there's classical underpinnings to a Catholic's education. Both Catholic and public education are good at asking two basic questions. What is the thing, and how is it made? We call that the material cause and efficient cause. But only the Catholic education asks the next two questions. What is it, and what is it for? Those are the two big questions that are so lacking in our modern education. Modern education limits those last two questions altogether. Denies that there's actually a fixed human nature, male and female. Denies there's a transcendent purpose, ultimately in heaven. And all those things are missing in public education. Again, sadly, many schools can't even identify what it means to be a human person. In other words, we're different than the animals. Animals are not people. And because we have an immortal soul, because we have an eternal destiny, we're meant to be shaped and built up and formed, not merely educated, but formed and developed. When a student misbehaves, we don't want to simply practice some sort of neurological impulses and responses, trying to give behavior management to them. We actually teach them the truth. What is the truth that they violated? What's the principle at stake? How do we reshape their lives? So we actually practice real correction. Can you imagine if a school said, we don't know what a woman is? Can you imagine? What if a school believes that boys can be girls and girls can be boys? What if they actually put tampon machines in the men's room? You don't have to go very far to find that. Not very far at all. And if we don't know what a woman is, how can we actually shape our young people? We don't know what a man is. We don't know what a woman is. Yet there are real differences. You and I know that a woman is the female of the human species, capable of bearing children and nursing them. This is something that you and I recognize as seemingly self-evident, yet not evident at all to our educators and to our educated class. And so you and I want to protect the innocence of our children because they're in a formative stage. They need to find out who they are, and they're either boys or girls. There's no mix. There's no in-between. So we recognize these truths. These are real differences between boys and girls. Moreover, Catholics cannot concede that identity is a mere construct of human desire. Sex is a given of our nature, an integral part of the body and soul unity. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches we do not invent our sex. We acknowledge and we accept it. That's going to be foundational. If we don't get that right, can you imagine the number of other things we're not going to get right? Now, the natural ends of Catholic education are to acquire the intellectual and the moral virtues. Intellectual virtues, among them, for our children to become truth seekers. They have to know the truth. The truth is not my truth and your truth as though they're different things. The truth is the way things really are. It's objective reality. And we have to have them be truth seekers in order to see through propaganda. Because there's a lot of propaganda that's out there. And our kids have to become truth seekers. There are moral virtues, not just honesty. There's also faithfulness and chastity and heroism. But even more, can think about this. The kids who are the wallflowers, we want to pull them off the wall, inject them into places where they get pushed a little bit, where they actually have to grow a little bit, where they get to experience a success, where they grow through this wallflower phase. Kids don't raise themselves. We have to develop them along the way. We want human flourishing. And the kids who are already strong, it can't just be for themselves. We actually want them to be leaders of others. We want them to be defending the little ones. In fact, because they're not sheep, we want them to become sheepdogs, the defenders of the weak. That might be part of their role in life. We want them to be sheepdogs, strong, courageous, defenders of good, not seeking themselves, but seeking others. Do you think you're going to find that in a place that doesn't even know what a boy or a girl is? Not likely. So you and I recognize there's already huge differences in the education. Now, separate from the classical education, but related to it, is the Catholic faith. The root word of culture is cult. And our Catholic culture is formed by the worship of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Our belief forms our worship and our worldview and our activity. Public schools merely aim at secular metrics like test scores and college admissions and career goals, but we want so much more for our kids. Now, public schools today are different than public schools of long ago. The used-to-be secularism was a worldview that favored no religion. It allowed Jews and Christians to work together in what we called a Judeo-Christian setting. 40 and 50 years ago, public schools supported Judeo-Christian values, which held the place of sexes in marriage and marriage between a man and a woman. They held that. They taught that. They'd actually, back in the earlier days of this last century, they actually posted the Ten Commandments on the wall. That was foundational to being an American. You embrace these underlying values. Today, secularism is atheistic. It rejects all claims of religions and all their moral systems. It absolutely rejects the notion that there are moral absolutes. So we find ourselves in a very different world, and we need to understand that. I was privileged to participate in a comparative religion class. This was in the West Metro, and it was an eighth grade class. And we actually had six sections of 50 kids each for 82 minutes. So this was no licking a promise. This was a long class. And I had all these kids, and I had them one group after another. And this is something I enjoyed for a couple of years running. And there were great insights that I gained about their atheism, sexual morality, objectivity, and many more things. Among the group were Jews and Lutherans and Catholics. Some overtly denied believing in God. There were several Jewish kids that made that claim. But when I asked them, where does the world come from? They all said, the Big Bang. And I said, well, so there was this giant swirling mass of gas and it exploded. Yeah. And there's spinning gases and they congealed into stars. Yeah. And some of them had planets and they're not too far from the star that they would freeze, not too close that they would burn up. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, life appeared. Yeah. That's actually not only impossible, it's simply beyond all probability. And the idea that somehow life came from inanimate material by dumb luck is simply not provable, never sustainable, never been demonstrated. And so there's an atheism that runs through all of the education of the kids today. They don't want to believe that there is a God, that there's a source, that there's a meaning, there's a purpose, that there's a plan inscribed in the way things are made. And that's a problem. Years ago, there was a Mary Knoll bishop. He was imprisoned in China, and they sent him to a re-education camp. He thought they were going to give him Marxist-Leninist talks. Instead, they gave him atheistic Darwinism. Because if the whole world came about without God, then we've got a problem. If there's no origin, no God, then there's no destiny. If there's no destiny, there's no purpose. There's no meaning to life. If there's no meaning, there's no morality. You can do what you like. And ultimately, there's no hope. That's where we are today, this atheistic worldview which is presented all around. Now, it comes even further in the sex education, which is given to the kids in public schools. I talked to the kids about this very question. I said, sex is for marriage, and marriage is a permanent union between a man and a woman. Do you know they looked at me and their jaws dropped? I said, the only place for sex is in marriage between a husband and a wife, and they went, what? They'd never heard that. It had never been told to them. Do you recognize that years ago, Jocelyn Elders, former Surgeon General under Bill Clinton, she said, sex education is all about teaching children acts of impurity. She used other language. People were stunned, but it's true. She told them that because that sustains the change of morality and the change of culture. If we don't believe that anything is wrong, if the kids can do anything they want, they're actually living by another gospel than the one you teach them in church and at home. And once they embrace this other gospel, faith is lost. You know, faith is never lost intellectually. Nobody loses their faith because they deny the Trinity. They start doing things that the faith can't sustain, things that the faith would say are wrong. They start doing those things and embracing that lifestyle, and then the faith fades away because they've chosen a different way to live. And in our own schools, sadly, I'm going to call them government schools, that's the common practice, the undermining of all Christian values, particularly in the area of sexual morality. Very, very interesting. Because I talked to these kids, and when I told them the only place for sex was in marriage, their jaws dropped. This wasn't one or two kids. This was all of them. I would say the indoctrination was complete. And that's where the faith is lost. Another thing was the lack of objectivity. The kids all wanted to know about hell. What do I think about hell? So I told them what the church's position, and one girl said, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. And I said, on the contrary, it's either true for both of us or it's true for neither of us. Either the Catholic position is correct or yours is, but they can't both be right. The principle of non-contradiction. She burst into tears. Nobody had ever told her that such a thing as objectivity, that there's actually a right and a wrong. Nobody had ever said that. By the time you get to eighth grade, you should know something about that, but it's not there at all. Again, we're going to say that Catholic schools now are that different from public schools, that different from government schools, because we hold to these eternal values. The whole point of the Beatitudes is that you and I have an eternal destiny. It begins even now, should shape our attitudes, should shape the way we treat one another, the way we develop our young people. There's greatness which is possible in them. They don't raise themselves. And when we undermine their morality, when we undermine their thinking, they simply end up incapable of becoming truly free. So there's a problem here. Catholic schools do much better. Epiphany Catholic School, we want to develop saints and citizens. We actually want them to be saints for heaven and great citizens here. You know, it was a few years ago when, before we had the seven wars of the Middle East, but in the country of Iraq, we find Saddam Hussein had a big problem. His country was full of Shia and Sunni Muslims, but there was also a sizable minority of Catholics. And the Catholics had the best education, the best moral formation, and he used them, hired them to be in the government because they were capable. Do you realize that right now, your kids, if they're in a good Catholic school, are going to become the leaders of the next generation because they're the only ones who know how to do anything. They're capable. They're going to be the ones who are the leaders in the next generation because nobody else knows how to do stuff. And your kids are going to be the leaders. I want you to think about what this means. Yes, it can be expensive, but it's true and it's worth it. Your kids right here are going to get exactly what they need. So open up your hearts, study the difference, take a look at Catholic schools, take a look at Epiphany Catholic School. I'm convinced that we can really help make saints and citizens, and these kids can be successful in life and ultimately in heaven.